Warning, this episode contains 911 tapes that some may find disturbing. The tapes are meant to be educational and show the reality of 911. In no way do we make light of the following emergency situations. Remember, you've been warned.
Welcome to Within the Trenches, true stories from the 911 dispatchers who live them.
Code 7 Podcast Network, and this is going to be episode 97 of Within the Trenches. Now, this is also going to be the Halloween-ish type episode. I recently received some messages over Twitter and Facebook and everything, asking if I was going to do a Halloween-themed type episode. Well, I thought, you know what, why not? Let's do a Halloween-type episode. And I guess in the sense, though, for the podcast, you know, Halloween is supposed to be about, spooky shit, scary stuff. And a lot of the phone calls that we take in dispatch can be seen as spooky, creepy, scary. And up until now, a lot of the tapes that I've played have been a little more on the humor side. Well, a good friend of mine, I have to give her a shout out. I saw her last week. For work, a coworker of mine, Lori, we were out doing some work and stuff, and we paid a visit to our friend Vicky, and she was telling me about the top five creepy 911 calls that it was on this YouTube page on this channel, which I'll give a shout out to the two channels here momentarily. But I was listening to them and I thought, holy crap, I was like, these are pretty crazy. And, you know, it took me back to some of the calls that I took when I was in dispatch. And you know, it's pretty much reality, everyday reality for us, but for the public, for those who've never worked in this industry, and you listen to this podcast, you're about to hear how real it gets. It's crazy listening to it, what's going on to the people who are calling, but you know, it's even more for us too, us as dispatchers taking these calls, because we're there and listening to everything and trying to do everything we can to help out. But really, you know, we also feel helpless because, you know, we just sometimes, at least for me, I wanted to jump through the phone and, you know, help them as much as I could. But it's going to get real. This is a viewer discretion advised type thing. If you are not down with scary, creepy, or disturbing, don't listen to this episode. But otherwise, it's going to be pretty interesting. I also have to address something. Recently, I was sending out some, I received a message from a good friend of mine, and actually past guest, a show regular, Rob Big Mac McMullen. And he sent me a message from on this page. It was a Facebook fan page. It's called Dispatchers Talk, I believe. And they were selling a T-shirt that had that has my logo on it, my headset with the vital sign and the 911. It's on there. They were selling a T-shirt with my logo. And as I looked through their pictures, I saw another T-shirt that they sold back in, I believe it was September, just this past September. And it had my entire logo on there. Like somebody just swiped it. And from what they told me, because I had to figure out what was going on. They were trying to sell this T-shirt through Teespring, which they were successful with the one in September. They sold some T-shirts and they made money off of my logo, which I didn't think was cool. So I had to send them a message and, see what was going on. And they were telling me that they got it off of some website called Fiverr, where it's a freelance website where they, you know, you reach out to somebody to, you ask them for, you know, whatever, logos, designs, whatever. It could be anything, I think. And, you pay this person. So somebody else who I have to go after, hook them up with my logo. And then these people on Dispatcher's Talk ended up putting a t-shirt together and selling it through Teespring. Now, I went to Teespring as well because this isn't the first time that this has happened. The first time it happened was back in, I believe, April, this past April. I was at the Indiana NINA conference and I was looking on Facebook and somebody sent me a message saying somebody's trying to sell a t-shirt with your logo on it. And sure enough, it was my headset and everything on there. I sent Teespring a message, and after they did an investigation, they found out that it was, you know, they were stealing from me my intellectual property. So they stopped the campaign. Well, I thought they were going to do the same thing with this one, but they denied my claim and ended up saying that it is distinct from my original. And I told them, it is my original. Look at it. I mean, how is it not? So they let it go. And for that reason, I no longer support Teespring. They've sold a lot of my designs, a lot of my t-shirts when I've done the campaign, but because they just let it go with this other one, you know, you lost my business. Sorry about that. Thanks for the free advertising through the both of you, but still, you know, that's not cool that you guys were doing that. And the other thing too is I got a response finally from this Dispatcher's Talk fan page, and they said, you know, the t-shirt that you're talking about that has your logo on it, it only sold 4 t-shirts and then had some emoji with the tongue sticking out. Like, you know, it shouldn't be that big of a problem because it only sold 4 t-shirts. So, haha. Well, don't be a dick. I mean, it was whether you sold anything or not, it was my logo and, you know, you made a little bit of money off of it. Not cool. But like I said, we're not going to be supporting either of them. So, you know, whenever I get other t-shirts going, I'm going to go through somebody else. So Teespring, you lost it. You suck. Anyway, moving on from that. It's Halloween and I've got some tapes to play. But what I want to start out with is I want to tell you about my house that I grew up in. I grew up in Finnville, Michigan, and the house that I lived in was haunted. Now, I know a lot of people, you know, whether you believe in ghosts or not, I mean, I definitely do. I believe in it because of the house that I grew up in. It was a crazy place. When my parents first got it, before I was born, of course, they got the house and they told me and my siblings that, you know, they used to hear voices down in the basement. You know, they used to hear a man screaming down there. And, you know, there were times where my mom would, or my dad, they would go down in the basement and it would feel like somebody was there with them or looking at them through the crawl space. And there was these 3 like small flights of stairs going down into the basement. And, what they call a Michigan basement. You go down there and I remember the crawl space when you'd walk down, it felt like somebody was actually looking at you. Well, what I ended up finding out years later was that this house used to be a funeral home. And in that spot, that crawl space, where actually my dad and I used to crawl into to put storage stuff. I mean, it was a huge like portion of dirt and there was like cement all around it. And before you go in though, excuse me, there's a cutout and it's actually where it was used to be an oven. That's where they would cremate the bodies. So all the dirt that was in there, you know, it could have been ash as well. I have no idea. But before we were all born and all, my parents were trying to do some stuff down in the basement and they ended up knocking down one of the walls because they were trying to make it more open. And from what they told me, they found some bones ended up falling out of that wall. And, during this time, you know, they'd still been hearing this man screaming down there and screaming. And, after they found that, they ended up getting a priest to come in and they did a blessing on the house. But when he came in, he told them immediately that something didn't feel right. And when he went down in the basement, he said, there's something evil down there. And, you know, he blessed the place. They ended up burying the bones. And my parents said they didn't hear anything again. So then years later, my siblings and I are born and we start hearing stuff down in the basement. And it sucks so bad because, you know, if we would get in trouble, my parents' bedroom was down in the basement. If we got in trouble, we'd have to go downstairs and get a belt. And I remember going downstairs and it wasn't enough that I was about to get my ass handed to me because I did something stupid. And usually it was more of just the, you know, just the threat of it, of go get a belt. You know, I probably only got spanked a handful of times, but it was never really as bad as going down into the basement to get that belt because I always felt something there. There was always something there and I would have to run upstairs and it felt like something was running with me until I got to the very top and then, you know, it was done. But I remember hearing kids cry through the vents. You know, it was horrible. It was bad. You know, there was never anything like stuff moved around or anything like that, but there, it always seemed like there was something, odd, you know, something like wrong down there or something that was bad that was happening at the house. And, there was one year where my grandmother, my father's mom, she was sick. She was in Texas. And, so he and my uncles, and my aunt ended up going, down to Texas to visit her. He was gone for a couple months. And, this was around Christmas time. Well, my family and I had gone to my aunt's house in Pullman and we were there cause we were going to put on this nativity play and stuff. So we were there practicing and all. And, I remember we got home and, we had this long, they were like Christmas bells and they were on the door, on the front door. Now, when you get to the house, you know, you walk in, there's a little porch area and then the main door to go into my house. Well, I was carrying my mom's sewing machine and I'm ahead of everybody. I walk in and I go to open the door and the door just opened up and you could hear the bells jingling as I opened the door and I immediately froze. And I looked back at my mom and I said, did you leave the door unlocked? And she goes, no, I didn't. I locked everything. And we all ran. We hauled. We ended up calling the cops, which when I worked in dispatch, I worked for Allegan County. Finnville is in Allegan County. So it's funny. I grew up in the county, ended up working for them. Who knows? The officer who came out was probably somebody that I ended up working with later on. I just didn't know. But someone did end up breaking into the house. The weird thing though, is that we had tons of electronics. We had a lot of valuable stuff in that house, but out of everything they stole clothes. That's all they stole was clothes. And, I remember my aunt lived behind us, and we were all over there. My mom was with the officer walking through the house to see, you know, what had happened. Well, we didn't go back for about a week and a half. And the first night that we went back, we all slept in my grandmother's room. And the reason we slept there is because, everybody was freaked out. Nobody wanted to sleep by themselves. So we all slept together in my grandmother's room. All us kids slept on the floor and my mom and my grandmother slept on the bed. Well, I go to sleep finally. And I remember hearing some stuff out in the living room and I wake up and I look out into the living room and my mother is in tears. She's shaking and there's an officer there. And I waited until the officer left and I walked out and started talking to my mom and I asked her, you know, what happened? Why were the cops here? What was going on? And she said, well, when everybody fell asleep, you know, she said that she was trying to go to sleep, but she couldn't. For some reason, she couldn't go to sleep. And she started hearing something at our sliding door. See, in our house, we had two decks. We had a deck, a big deck on the back of the house. And then we had a smaller deck to the right side of the house. So, it was on the west side of the house. And, there's a sliding door there. And my mom said that she heard somebody, trying to pull the slider open. So she goes out into the living room and she could see a silhouette of somebody. And she was yelling at him that she was going to call the cops and just to go away and to leave everybody alone. And the person just kept pulling and pulling, pulling even harder on the slider. And the good thing, I think that the one thing that helped us was the fact that she had put a piece of, I believe my uncle had broken one of our brooms and had the broom handle and put it on the other side so that, you know, there's no way you were going to be able to pull the door open unless you, you know, actually broke the glass to get in that way. So I'm pretty sure that was something that helped us out. But my mom was so freaked out, and we have no idea who it was. You know, the cops got there. The guy had already, or the person, you know, it could have been a lady. I don't know. The person took off and we never found out. But it was crazy stuff like that that happened at that house. You know, that somebody trying to break in while we're there. You know, the haunted shit from the house being a funeral home. There was a lot of things. I mean, my parents ended up getting divorced years later. And when they were selling the house, my mom and my grandmother had gone to the house down into the basement to clean some of our stuff up because, you know, they were going to sell the house. And before they got there, I had gone down there in the basement just to see if I could feel anything anymore as an adult. And I could kind of feel something, but it wasn't as bad as when I was a kid. Now, my parents had this huge rug that had Jesus on it. And when I went down in the basement, the rug was still there, but it was torn apart. And his face was, it was black, like somebody had put dirt all over it or something. It was very creepy. And we had photo albums down there, and there were pictures that were just thrown all over the place, almost as if somebody was looking for us. It was the creepiest thing. We ended up splitting because, well, I wasn't going to stay there any longer. But my mom and my grandmother went back so that they could clean that stuff up and some other things that they had left there. And my mom said that when she went downstairs, she felt at peace, like everything was fine. But then, out of nowhere, she felt something bad around her. There was something by her, and she couldn't explain it, but she felt like she couldn't breathe. She said it was just scary, like unnerving. Like it, she couldn't, like I said, she couldn't explain it. It was just very something very bad. She said that it got closer to her, and it was right next to her, and whatever it was whispered to her, "I knew you'd be back." And she said that her and my grandmother split. Then my grandmother started telling her just to start praying and that everything would be fine. And then she said, "No, we just got to leave." So they ended up leaving. All of our stuff stayed down in that basement. A few years ago, before I moved out of Michigan to Indiana, my sisters were visiting and they were riding around with my dad. And my dad knows the people who ended up buying our old house. And they went to visit and they asked if they could look around, and they were looking around and stuff just to see what was new. And they went towards the basement and it was closed off. And my dad asked them why was it sealed off? And they said that they were hearing screaming coming from the basement. So he said that all of our stuff that had been left there, that it's still there, which is crazy because you think that somebody would have gone down there and cleaned it up. But hell if I know, man. As far as I know, all of our stuff is still there. And whenever I pass that house, I have to look at it. I don't know why, but I have to look at it every time I pass that house when I'm back in Finville. But like I said, a lot of crazy stuff happened at that place. But just the fact that I was there at the house with my family and, well, my mom, I can't imagine what she went through while she was standing there and somebody's trying to break in. You know, it kind of reminds me of a phone call that I took, which is similar to a tape that we're going to listen to here in just a moment. When I was working in Allegan, I believe it was summertime, I took a phone call from a lady who was with her grandchild. They were in the living room and she was talking about how she heard somebody around the house, that there was somebody there. And, or it sounded like somebody was walking around the house. So, you know, it was first put in as like a suspicious person. And then she just starts screaming at the top of her lungs, just screaming that somebody is there, that he was standing right there in the house. So from what it sounds like, they're sitting in the living room. She turns around and the guy is standing right in back of her, right there in the living room. And the guy ends up taking off. He runs. She's screaming. I'm trying to get them back in, in a safe spot. It turned out that this, it was an elderly male who he was getting towards, he kind of had dementia, I guess, is what was going on. And he just would wander, and he just walked inside, and her screaming scared him, and he ran back to his house. So there was no arrest or anything like that. His family ended up saying, oh, that, you know, that won't happen again. He got out, which is weird to say, you know, he just got out, like he escaped or something. But it was bone chilling, because I remember listening to her scream and me yelling over saying, he's in the house, he's in the house. And it's just nuts how similar this is to what I'm going to play. And I guess, you know, a lot of things happen the same way in different places, just some small differences. But yeah, that's one that I won't forget because of the screaming and the little kids screaming and the fact that the guy was just standing in there and I had to get him to safety. But these first tapes that I'm going to play, they come from a YouTube channel, and it is Top Trending. They also got a website, toptrending.com, and it's the 5 creepiest 911 calls. I'm not going to play all 5. There's some in there that I just, you know, didn't feel that I was going to play. One of them is from 9/11, and it's an interesting one, but because this is a Halloween type thing, I'd rather not play that as a Halloween episode. I'll probably play it again sometime, but it would only be, you know, if I was interviewing one of those dispatchers from that time, which is something that I hope that I'm able to do sooner or later. But I didn't want to play that because of the whole Halloween thing, and I just felt that it would be disrespectful if I did that. So sorry if you were waiting for that, but you can find it where I just told you on YouTube, and it's within those. But this first tape, it's an elderly female who calls 911 to report a suspicious subject outside of her home.
What's the problem, ma'am?
Oh, there's some guy been taking the place out.
No. Well, he went in the back. I have an apartment in the back, and he said he was looking for a guy. And he comes to my door. Said he's looking for an apartment. So I live alone, and I'm an old lady.
Mm-hmm. Where is he now, ma'am?
I don't have no idea.
Okay, so that's where that call ends up ending. I have all these calls split up. Some of them start right away, like this one that just comes on right now. It's crazy. I believe she did not make it. In the video, it says that it was an elderly female who was murdered. I'm not for sure. These are also calls that don't have any other research on it. So I'm just going by what the YouTube video says. This next one, though, I did actually look this one up. It was November 2009, I believe, when this next one happened. Because, you know, you listen to some of these tapes, and as unbelievable as it sounds, this shit does happen. But sometimes people are just trolling and throwing other shit out there. So I wanted to make sure that a lot of these were real. So this next one is a chimpanzee attack. Now, I've never actually taken a call that dealt with any animals that were attacking. Like I said, some of them were funny. A lot of the tapes that we've played were funny. So there was one with a cat that wouldn't let this guy out of his house, or it was a female. It was the owners that were saying that the cat was just freaking out and wouldn't let him out of where they were at. And you can hear the cat in the background just growling and stuff. There was another one where I think it was a raccoon or something, ended up attacking somebody, but not like this one that I'm about to play. This one has to do with a chimpanzee. So, here we go.
Emergency.
This is Sandy. 231 Rock Crimmon Road.
What's the problem?
Police. send the police.
Hey, what's wrong? I'm there.
The chip killed my friend.
What?
Now, before I go any further, I have to say really quick, too, some of these tapes are pretty long, so you're going to hear some fast-forwarding parts, and this was on the original YouTube video. They've got the fast-forwarding parts in there, so you're going to hear that. I just wanted to make sure that you heard it so you didn't think that, I don't know, something was screwing up on what you were listening to.
Problem with your friend.
Oh, please.
What's the problem with your friend? I need to know.
With a gun! Hurry up!
Who has a gun?
Please, hurry up! He's killing my girlfriend!
What is the problem?
He's killing my friend!
Who's killing your friend?
My chimpanzee!
Oh, your chimpanzee is killing your friend!
He ripped her apart! Hurry up!
With a gun!
Hurry up, please!
There's someone on the way!
With guns, please! You shoot him!
What is the monkey doing? Tell me what the monkey's...
He ripped her face off!
If the monkey moves away from your friend, let me know, okay? So we could try to help your friend.
No, I can't. She's dead.
Why are you saying that she's dead?
She's dead. He ripped her apart.
He ripped what apart? Her face?
Everything.
He ripped her apart?
I think I'm going to pass.
Nope, just breathe, okay? I'm going to stay with you on the phone until they get there.
Listen, please hurry. Oh, my God. Shoot him!
Sandra, stay in your car.
Shoot him!
Sandra, I need you to stay in your car.
Shoot him, please. I tried stabbing him, and he's hurt now, too. So he's going to attack anybody. I can't get out of this car.
And that's where that one ends there. You know, you think of chimpanzees or monkeys in general, I guess, excuse me. And they look, they look fine. You think of Curious George, the dude's just curious. He's all happy and fuzzy and shit, but, nope. You know, chimpanzees, I believe are, you know, pretty, they're like savages, man. especially from that right there. And I don't mean to laugh or anything, cause that's pretty crazy, but just trying to say, you know, you think they're going to be all lovey and unicornish and stuff, and then you hear something like that, and it's like, well, yeah, I guess you really don't want to mess with them. So the next call, it's an intruder call, kind of like the first one that I played, and there's a lot of calls that I took where, you know, you're talking to the callers, someone's breaking in. And, you know, you got to think on your feet. You got to hurry up and tell them to get somewhere and advise them the right way, you know, get into a room, lock it or whatever. And hopefully there's a window, because if there's no window and you're telling them to get into a room and lock it, and that's the only place they have to go, I mean, that could fall back on you. I don't know for sure, but I mean, you're putting them in danger by sending them to a room that has no other way to escape. I'd have to double check on that, of course. You know, don't listen to me there. But I just know that whenever I would take a call and tell them to go lock themselves in a room, I would make sure that there was a window so that they had another way to get out if someone knocked the door in. Because I would assume that if I told somebody to go into a room that had no other way to get out, that's going to fall on me, because I just kind of, you know, screwed them over there. But here's the next call.
Back to the phone.
I just have to go.
What?
She's got to go.
Yeah, like I said, that was an intruder tape. Yeah, he ends up getting a hold of her right at the end there. Not sure what happens anymore after that. There's not a lot of explanation with these tapes, you know, when you get them. But, you know, that's almost an everyday. It's hard to understand, I guess, for other people and maybe even us as dispatchers, too. It doesn't happen every day, but it's calls like that that do happen every day. I mean, like the adrenaline type calls, the high priority calls and stuff. So, you know, and this show has always been about making it as real as possible, especially for the public, for you to know the stuff that we do and what we listen to. So when you call and you think we're being dicks, it's not because we just want to be crappy to you. These are the types of calls that we've taken before you get on the line with us. And, you know, you're calling in because you want fireworks times. I mean, I just took a call of somebody who broke into this person's house and listened to them screaming for help and asking why the intruder is there. And you're calling me for fireworks times on 911. So let that sink in a little bit. You know, this is what we deal with. The next call, this one is called the Weepy Voice Killer. Now, actually, I didn't even know about this one. You know, and I worked in dispatch for 13 years and I don't remember, the Weepy Voice Killer. This guy, I guess, you know, he would call and would be crying and would admit to his killings. I can't say that I've ever had a phone call from someone who called in and said, you know, that they killed somebody. I spoke to a lot of people who called in saying that they wanted to kill themselves or that, you know, they were going to try to do a suicide by cop or something like that. But I've never spoken to an actual killer of an incident. So here's the Weepy Voice Killer.
Fire emergency.
Please don't talk to me, listen. I'm sorry I killed that girl. I stabbed her 40 times. Kimberly Compton was the first one. Oh, my chief. Oh, I don't know what you're mad at me. I'm sick. I'm going to kill myself, I think.
Where are you?
I'm just going to... If somebody dies with a red chin on, it's me. I killed both people. I'll never make it to heaven.
Calm down. Calm down.
Finally, I just stabbed somebody with an ice pick. I can't stop myself. I keep killing somebody.
So that was the Weepy Voice Killer. Creepy. Definitely creepy. If you got a phone call like that, yeah, that would be nuts. There's one thing that I did, or a couple things actually I remembered as listening to that just now, was that, you know how I said that I had taken calls from people who said that they wanted to kill themselves. Well, there was a call that I got that sounded kind of like this guy, but it was an elderly woman. And she called up. It was about 3 a.m. And I, you know, pick up the phone, Elegant 911, where's your emergency? And I immediately hear this elderly woman saying, I'm going to kill myself. But she was saying, I'm going to kill myself. I'm going to kill myself. And she said it over and over and over until she was screaming it over the phone. And then she hung up the phone, just slammed it down. And that was probably one of the most creepy things I had taken on the phone, because her voice, I mean, I can still hear her voice in my head. Just thinking about it, I can hear her starting from a low octave to the highest octave that you could get. And it scared the crap out of me. You know, I stayed professional, of course, and went through and did everything I had to do. And we had EMS out there and officers and everything else. And she ended up going to the hospital, you know, for evaluation, and ended up being fine. But I mean, that night she just, I don't know, I guess she had just had it. And she called in and just started screaming that. And that was something else. You know, we also got this phone call from this guy who was having some mental issues, or is a 1096 for those of, you know, you guys listening. Everybody knows what a 96 is. And when I first took the phone call from this guy, he was telling me that, you know, the world was ending and that, you know, we had to protect, or somebody had to protect the president because something bad was going to happen to him. You know, he was spouting, you know, just going off saying all of this crazy stuff. And he kept calling and calling and calling. And, you know, he's calling from a cell phone that was a NSI or non-service initialized, one of those with the 911 prefix. So we couldn't find where he was at. He gave me his name, but he didn't have a local address or anything. You know, we finally ended up finding him, but it was crazy. He ended up getting help after we finally found him. But he was telling me in these phone calls that I needed to call this phone number. I needed to call this phone number and let them know that the president was in danger and he was doing his duty and all this other stuff. You know, he sounded like a complete nut. So I remember yelling over to my supervisor and I said, you know what? I'm going to call this phone number. I'm going to call the phone number and see where it heads. You know, I was Alice going down that hole to Wonderland trying to see what was going to happen. So I called the phone number and I hear White House switchboard. I was like, whoa, excuse me? And they said, you reached the White House. This is the switchboard. I said, really? Are you serious? Like, this is really the switchboard for the White House in D.C. And they said, yes, it is. And I said, okay, well, I'm Ricardo with, you know, Allegan County Central Dispatch. And I keep getting this call from this guy. And I started saying everything he was saying. And they knew his name. And they said, oh, yeah, we get calls from him at least once or twice a week. And so they knew about this guy. And I guess it was fine. Even though he was saying all this crazy stuff, they were cool about it. So I was like, man, I can't believe it. This guy actually had the phone number to the White House, to the switchboard. We ended up getting more calls from him later on. And one of the creepiest things was that one of my partners, Alexis, was on the phone with him. And we had officers trying to find him in the area where he was saying that he was at. And it was like on this two track in this wooded area. And this guy calls and she gave, you know, just her first name, no last name or anything like that. But the weird thing was that he knew that, you know, he was saying, about her being Greek, and it freaked her out. And I remember it freaked me out. And because she never said anything at all, but he had said that, I guess maybe just a good guess. And not only that, he was telling her on the phone, tell your officers that they're not going to find me. I'm looking at them right now. So he's in the woods and he can see them from wherever he's at. And they looked all over the place. And I remember we were telling them everything he was saying and they're looking and they didn't find him. For all we know, he was somewhere far. And, you know, looking through binoculars or something. I don't know. It could have been anything. He could have been just guessing right, but it all fit. But, you know, later on that night, I found him at the house and he was just having some 96 issues, some mental issues, and he ended up getting the help he needed. But man, was that creepy. It was some crazy shit that happened with that person. And, yeah, it was nuts. But these are people that, you know, call in the 911 all the time. Well, maybe not all the time, but they call in there. And this is stuff that dispatchers deal with. So you're getting, if you're the public listening to this episode, you're getting a taste of that. But the next list of calls, there are only three more calls on here. And this one comes from a YouTube channel, which, like I said, this is the Halloween type episode. The name of the YouTube channel is Mr. Nightmare. So that, you know, that kind of fits there with it. But they had, or this person has the six shocking and freaky 911 calls. There's only three of them that I'm going to play through it, or from that, that video. Some of the calls were or the same as the ones that I just played. But these are three other ones. So the first one talks about, well, it almost sounds like he's describing Bigfoot that he sees. This guy's calling out of Washington and describes what sounds like Bigfoot. Well, here we go.
911, what are you reporting?
We got someone or something crawling around out here.
Did you see what it was? Was it a person or an animal? or?
I can't tell. All I know is that my sensor light came on, and I just happened to glimpse and see this thing running across the yard. A good-sized man, or something. It looks like a man. I don't know what it was, just that it ran across the yard.
Okay. You've had problems in the neighborhood before?
Yeah, my dog was killed here just recently. I don't know what it was. Whatever it is, it's running. I couldn't catch it if I was going to chase it. But whatever it was standing up. I'm out here looking through the window now, and I don't see anything. I don't want to go outside. Jesus Christ, you better...
Sure.
See ya.
Hello?
Get somebody out here.
What's going on now, sir?
That son of a bitch is about 6 foot nine, I don't know.
Do you see him now, sir?
Yes, I'm looking right at him.
Uh-oh. Okay, hang on.
He's right...
Is he in your yard, sir?
Yeah, God, he's big.
Okay, what's he doing in your yard?
He's looking at me.
Oh, and the guy is on foot.
I don't know what... It's a big... Real big person. That's all I can say.
Okay, but it is a person.
Yeah, I'd say it was a person, somebody really big. But he's all in black.
Is he a black male or a white male? Did you actually see whether, or was he just wearing black?
He's all black and he's big. He is big.
Now we're.
Well, that's the end of that tape. It was just about to start the second one here, but I had to stop out there really quick. So, yeah, it sounds like he's, who knows? He saw Sasquatch, man. It's pretty crazy. You know, that's one call that I've never taken either. Anything like that. You know, in Michigan, the only place I would see Bigfoot or the Yeti or whatever would probably be in the Upper Peninsula. But I did take calls of people seeing mountain lions. I actually took a call of somebody seeing a camel. So I don't know. But the only thing that I can say that comes close to that, well, not even comes close, but something that's kind of funny that, you know, description that way. There was a gentleman who called in, an elderly gentleman, and my coworker Alexis had taken the call. And this guy kind of sounded like the last caller. However, this guy was a little more embarrassed than anything else because she's trying to get out of him what he's looking at and the description of the guy who's walking around his house. And finally, he just says that the guy's naked and he's on stilts and he just walked by the front window of my living room. And he was so embarrassed. It was bad. But yeah, that's the closest that we've ever come to something like Bigfoot. I don't know. It's crazy. The next call that I'm going to play is it's a kid, maybe a teenager, who he calls in and he's reporting a murder. And like I said before, I've never actually taken a call from someone who's admitted to killing someone or anything like that. So it's kind of weird to listen to this guy talk because, you know, he doesn't sound scared or anything. He just sounds lost. Kind of empty.
Where's your emergency?
My house.
Okay, what's the emergency?
I just killed my mom and my sister.
You just killed your mother and your sister? How did you do that?
I shot them with a .22 revolver.
Are you sure they're dead?
Yes.
Okay, I want you to stay on the phone with me, okay? Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay, where is the gun?
It's on the kitchen counter.
Is there any reason that you were so angry at your mother and your sister?
I don't know. I wasn't. It's weird. I wasn't even really angry with them. It just kind of happened. I've been kind of planning on killing for a while now.
So that was the end of that that call. It was a short call there. Like I said, he sounds like he's just like there's nothing there. Almost like a drone or something. He's just talking. But, you know, he called and he admitted to what he was doing. Yeah, obviously disturbed. Because, I mean, there was no emotion or anything coming out of him. You know, props to that dispatcher. And actually, you know, I'm saying this early. I've got one last call to play, but I'm going to say this early. Props to all the dispatchers who had taken these calls. You know, some of the other ones you hear them yell over, you know, they've got a gun or they're in the room with them right now. But they don't freak out because we're not supposed to freak out because that's not what we do. You know, we stay calm. We stay professional and we do what we have to do, which is kick ass and take names, you know? So big props to all of these dispatchers who've taken these calls and everyone who takes the call out there. You know, you guys do an amazing job. And I know because I was there. I was a dispatcher. But once a dispatcher, always a dispatcher, right? Now, the last call is a stalker who's trying to break in. And this call, the caller is armed. Now, if you listen close when the guy breaks in, you'll hear gunshots. It sounds slightly muffled, but you'll hear some gunshots. And you'll hear the guy. I had to listen to it a couple times with some noise-canceling headphones on so that I could hear it. But it sounds like the guy is saying, "Are you trying to kill me?" And then, you know, the person shoots again. So, yeah, you'll have to listen close so that you can actually hear it. But in this one, you know, the caller was actually armed, which is a good thing.
Him and then one.
Yeah, he's trying to get in my back door again.
Who is? Okay, who is?
But this is Ryan, I guess.
Ryan, you got this is a boyfriend, a friend?
No. I've been having a lot of problems with him. Please.
Okay, they're going to be on their way. Okay, did he come in a car?
I don't know. He's trying to get my back door.
Okay, has he been talking to you or how do you know it's him? No, did you see him?
No, I don't. Somebody's trying to get my back door.
Okay, why don't you stand away with me and, you know, until the police get there in case anything happens.
He's in the back door.
He's at the back door. I get it. They're going to be on the way. I just want to stay on the phone with you until the officers get there, okay?
Okay.
What kind of car does he drive or does he drive?
Ford Explorer, dark blue.
Okay. And is he pounding on the door or what is
he? Yeah, so he's trying to get in.
What does he look like?
I don't know. Well, he's got a goatee.
Is he white, black, Hispanic?
He's white. He's trying to get in my door.
Okay, where are you at in the house?
I'm in the living room.
Okay, can you get into a room with a lock on it?
Yes, I can.
Okay, do you have a cordless phone?
Do I have a cordless? Yes, yes. I do.
Okay, try to get into a bedroom or a bathroom or somewhere with a lock on it, okay? Okay, that way, in case anything happens.
He's in the back. He's not in the front. He's in the back.
Okay. Okay. Can you see what he was wearing at all?
No, I can't see nothing. I put something over the window so he couldn't see in.
And are you going to a bedroom or where are you
going? Yes, I'm in the bedroom.
Okay. I want to tell you when it's safe to come out, okay? Hang on 1 second. I want to let you know where the officers are. Does he normally park in front or in the back?
He broke through the window again.
He broke through the window. Is he in the house?
Yes, I think he is.
And you're still locked in the bedroom, right?
Yes.
Okay.
What? He broke the window. He's in the house now.
Does he know to carry weapons at all?
I got one today.
You got one what?
I got a weapon today.
Okay. A gun? You yes. have it? And is it in the room with you?
Yes.
Okay, where is the gun actually? Is it locked up or is it in your hand?
No, it's in my hand.
Okay.
Let him know she's got a gun in her hand in her room.
Can you hear him in the house?
Yes.
Okay, where is he at?
He's downstairs.
He's downstairs. Okay, and I take it, and if you're in the bedroom, that means you're upstairs?
Yes.
Okay. I have several officers on the way.
Okay. Quickly.
Yeah, they're coming.
911.
Is anybody with them? Did you hear anybody else?
No.
No? Okay. Does he know you're there?
Evidently. Oh, no, he might not. I don't have my vehicle here. He slashed my tires the other day.
Okay, and that door is locked, right?
Yes.
Okay, just making sure.
Alex? Alex?
What?
Is his last name Bergner?
Ellis.
Hello?
He's trying to get in the house.
She put the phone down.
Okay. Yes, no.
They're already on the
way.
Yeah, I know, and it feels like forever, and it's only been 2 minutes. Is his last name Gardner?
Yes, his last name is Gardner.
I'm going to shoot. I heard him turn the light on. Okay, just calm down, okay? We don't want to do anything too rash. I mean, if he's, he may not even know you're in there. Okay. And he's in front of your door there, or what light did he turn on?
Oh, light.
Okay.
He's turning the door now.
He's turning her door. Okay. Is that him I hear?
Yep.
Okay, is there anything you can...
What are you doing? Stop it!
Okay, he's in the room with her.
Stop it!
Yes.
Toby?
Stop it!
Are you
Stop it! Stop it! Just stop it!
Okay, they're almost there.
Oh my God!
Okay, is he still there? What did he...
Oh my God! Oh my God!
So that's the ending of that tape right there. Right at the end, you can hear, I think it was three gunshots. It was two gunshots, then he speaks, and then there's one more gunshot after that. Yeah, like I said, crazy calls for this episode. I remember taking a call when I was in dispatch where it was the same type of situation. This girl had... I don't know if it was an ex-boyfriend or it was just a stalker. I believe it was an ex-boyfriend. She was at home alone and she ended up going down into the basement so that she could hide. But because she saw him pull in, or actually, no, she saw the car go by and she called us and I got the call. And then she saw him walking around the house. So the doors were locked and all. And she's downstairs and he's knocking on different windows, and I can hear the knocking in the background, and we'd already toned everybody out and they were heading over there, and she had a way to escape if she needed to, and but she was in a safe spot, and we're talking and the doorbell goes off, and I remember I remember because I had an earpiece on, and I remember when I heard it go off, my head kind of twitched a little bit because it caught me off guard. You know, I wasn't expecting to hear that, even though I was hearing him knocking all over the place. And she just started screaming. He's ringing the doorbell. He's ringing the doorbell. And it kept going off and kept going off. And, you know, I could hear the sirens as they were getting closer. And then, you know, the doorbell stopped. And the guy had parked about a mile or so down from the house, and he had been on foot and he was running back, and he got to his car, but the officers got out there in time to catch him, and he was arrested. But, you know, it was the craziest thing to hear, or one of the craziest things. There's a lot of things that I've heard, but that was one of them. One of the top ones to hear that, hear the actual person there, you know, knocking on the door, knocking on the windows, and then ringing the doorbell over and over and over as I'm on the phone with her and trying to keep her safe and staying professional, but in my head freaking out like, oh man, you know, this guy's going to break in. What am I going to tell her next? What are we going to do? I'm running through all of these scenarios in my head to make sure that she's safe before the officers get there. And luckily, you know, the officers were able to get there and arrest that guy. But, you know, this is the end of the tapes that we're playing or that I'm going to play today. And I hope that, you know, listening to them, you were able to learn maybe a little bit from it, you know, for the dispatchers that were listening, for those in the public, those that have never dealt with dispatch. These are real phone calls, real situations that dispatchers go through. So it's as real as it gets, you know, listening to those calls. Going into the wrap up of this episode, It's hard to transition from listening to a call like that to all this other stuff. I should have played a tape that was warm and fuzzy that you guys would you could listen to, so that you don't have nightmares or anything. But I don't have a tape for to play for you. I could look it up on YouTube right now, but it's going to be weird me trying to look for it and then, you know, transition from there. So we're just going to, like I said, go into the wrap up. We've got a lot of new things coming. I've got a guest list that has tons of people on it. It's just finding the time to get episodes out when I can, or as soon as I can. So I've got episode 96 and this one's 97 that I've recorded. I got to finish up the editing and then get them out there to you as fast as possible. Hopefully by the end of tonight, and it is November 1st. If not, it'll be first thing Monday morning, November 2nd, that I'll have both of these episodes out there for you. And then I'm going to go down the list of dispatchers, people that work with training companies, other companies that are pro dispatch, trying to help them get their word out there. Also going to be doing something hopefully soon with the 911 Wellness Foundation. They've got a lot of good things going on. And so, yeah, we got a lot of stuff coming. So please stay tuned, and I thank you very much for your continued support and for the show. You know, it's something that I appreciate all of you. So thank you very much. Also, before I wrap this up here, I have to tell you that one of the new things, or one of the big things that I want to get going, and I'm throwing this out there to whoever's listening that has a company, that if you want to be part of this sponsorship, it would be amazing to get your help on this. I'm looking at doing a scholarship for the 2016 National Indiana Conference. It's going to be in Indianapolis, Indiana, this year. And the reason I want to do this is because, well, now that I live in Fort Wayne, Indiana, the podcast is based out of Indiana. So I want to do something special with Nina, Friends of 911. They do a scholarship for, I believe, five dispatchers. Now, if I was able to get enough support to do something like that, that would be awesome. But what I want to do, at least for one dispatcher, I want to get some sponsors to go in on this with me to help pay for, you know, the fee, a full registration. And I can't go through the whole thing right now because I'm still putting this together, but I'm throwing it out there right now for those who are listening. If you want to be a sponsor and get in on this, send me an email or send me a message through Twitter or through Facebook. Any way you can get a hold of me, and we'll get this going, because I want to send a dispatcher to this conference that's coming up. You know, somebody who's never been there before to experience it, because it is, I mean, the amount of knowledge that you get out of it, the networking alone is huge. And, you know, if I was still in dispatch and I wasn't doing what I'm doing now, and somebody gave me the opportunity, I would take it and run with it, because it's excellent. I can't even put into words how awesome it is to go to a conference like this and get something out of it. So if you want to be a part of it, let me know, and we'll get this going. I've got some advertising opportunities, stuff on t-shirts and everything else that will, and the website where the sponsors will be on there. You know, you'll get some time. We'll even do an episode together for advertising. You know, if you've got something that you're pushing out that's pro dispatch, I don't want to be putting something out there that's just a product. I don't want to do that. However, if this product is pro dispatch and it's something that would help dispatchers, for example, I did an episode with Zybex, and they were talking about their consoles that have treadmills on them. It's a product, but it's pro dispatch, and it's something that's going to help them out. So if it's something like that, you know, definitely let's do this. You'll be a sponsor, help out with this scholarship. You'll have your logo and everything on a t-shirt. There'll be advertising opportunities. We'll do an episode during that week of the conference. You'll be mentioned at the beginning and at the end. There's a lot of things that, you know, we can do with this. So I want to get this going. If you have any questions for those listening, or you want to be a guest on the show, you can email the show. It's going to be wttpodcast@gmail.com. And that's also for those who want to help out with the scholarship. You can reach me there, wttpodcast at gmail.com. If you want to follow us on Twitter, our handle is at 901 podcast. On Facebook, it's facebook.com/within the trenches podcast. And this episode can be heard 24/7 on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud, and thejabberlog.com. Have a good one, everybody.